This is Wild Lives, and I'm Mary Brophy. This series is a journey to discover the magnificent wildlife and habitats of County Donegal. On land and sea, I'll be meeting the people who monitor and protect these wild creatures and our beautiful landscape. And I'll be learning about the challenges facing wildlife as we humans demand more and more of our natural world. First, I'm on the island of Innistrahull with wildlife ranger Emmett Johnston to learn about the bird colonies here and discover the importance of islands like this to the survival of one of our most threatened species, the corncrake.
That's the island there in the distance just coming into view now around Glengadhead, or the Roo of Glengad as the locals call it. So it's a fair big island. There would have been maybe 10 to 20 families maybe living on it at one time, up to 100 people anyway. It was abandoned in the 1920s, and I suppose the community just became unviable, and there's probably never been more wildlife on this island than there ever has been today, because there's no lighthouse keepers, there's nobody living there. It's really just a really, really remote spot. It's the most northerly point of land in Ireland, so we're right at the top.
It's great to get out here, you know. It's got such a really nice atmosphere and feeling when you're on these kind of remote islands, and you nearly feel like you're one of the first explorers again arriving, so it's really nice, certainly when there's a lot of bird life.
Innistrahull Island is a surreal place. Dramatic cliffs fall away to the sea from a central flat plain, and the outlines of abandoned houses stand like some curious art installation. As we walk toward them, all is quiet, but at my feet I notice very definite evidence of life here.
So what are these large droppings, the long tubular ones?
Geese, so barnacle geese is the island here during the winter time. So they roost out here because there's no predators, so they'll feed on the fields in at Malinhead or even down as far as Trebega Bay. And then they'll roost out here at night time. And we've got a lot of different rings. Most of the birds here interact with the flocks on Isla, which is not too far from here. It's probably about 20 to 30 miles away. So it's not much for a bird to fly.
Well, if the evidence of the droppings is anything to go by, there's a good healthy population of them around here.
Plenty of them, using the island. So that's really good to see. And it's part of the reason why the island's designated. So.
And using the path.
They're very sensible creatures. So the geese are very smart, so very dignified as well. So
as we reach the centre, a huge flock of geese lift and soar overhead. They circle the island and the noise is incredible. It's as if we've been transported back in time, or we've stepped into a scene in Jurassic Park. And I know exactly what Emmett means about feeling like a first explorer.
And as we're walking across, I mean, it's like we're coming across a little plateau in between two rock outcrops, and the deserted remains of some of the houses on either end just kind of snuggling into those rocks. And as I stand here looking out to the sea, I just saw the tail end of a couple of rabbits there as well. It's a good healthy population of those guys.
A population of rabbits, and they're great for providing burrows for the storm petrels that we get here. We've never confirmed shearwater yet, but we do suspect that they are here. But certainly a very, very strong population of storm petrels in the thousands, if not tens of thousands.
Really?
There's been quite a number of surveys done here over the last 4 or 5 years, and there's still each section of the island that they do and get too many birds every evening when they're mist netting. So it's got a lot to offer the island. I think it's 13 annex species breeding here, so it's really...
Explain what that means.
Well, an annex species, I suppose, is on the list of within Europe. All of the countries came together and decided that there are certain animals that are more endangered than others. Mm. And this is a list, or annex list, is really the list of the most endangered species. So they've asked each country then to put in place measures to protect those species. And that's why this island is designated a special protection area.
For and to have 13 of them is quite special in itself.
Yeah, it is, on this island.
It's quite
a wide variety. It's not just, you know, from winter through to summer. So you've got breeders, you've got roosters.
Emmett just spotted a flash of something in front of us. Then a distinctive sound confirms it. A pair of chough, is it?
Yeah.
And the geese still circling all around.
Pair chough breed on the island. Sometimes it's a three, which can be quite a thing that's specific to islands. So the three, there's a one of the young from the previous year helped to raise the following year's young.
Really?
So that's quite an unusual thing, but it's actually just quite specific to islands. So whatever it is, maybe you need more resources or something like that.
And they
so.
Will it'll only be one pair to something like this island. They will keep that territory.
I suppose just for this island here, it's probably big enough just for the one pair, but certainly we have a very strong population on the coast of Inishowen there. I mean, all along the coast of Donegal. Mm. And Inishowen, we've got a juvenile roost, so the chough are quite unusual that they are. They're very kind of smart birds, that's why they were always on the coats of arms of all of the Donegal families and that. They all gather together in October, November time. They bring all their juveniles and they teach them how to feed and how to interact with each other. So you can get, you know, maybe 100 or 120 of these chough lining up down there at Lag.
To get their tuition.
Yeah, go to school basically for a few months. And then all the juveniles are left there and the parents go back and hold their territories then maybe January time. And the juveniles, until they find a mate and a territory, they hang around as a group of youngsters or youths, I suppose. So you can get anything up to 60 or 70 youths there all year round in a roost. So they're just kind of, yeah.
And Donegal is one of those last bastions as well for those, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the chough and the corncrake, as I say, they're an indicator of the slow change, maybe, or lack of change that's happened. Certainly they've been lost to many other areas as the rapid change of agriculture.
We've lost over 80% of the corncrake population in Ireland since 1978. The latest census counted just 230 calling males in 2014, which is up 40% on the previous year. The largest concentration is here in Donegal, where 156 were counted, 108 of those on the islands. In my lifetime, Emmett, the corncrake has become like one of these poster birds of nature conservation, and like it's almost imbued with mythical status, like a symbol of that lost way of life. But I mean, what does it even look like? What is the corncrake?
I've only ever seen a glimpse of one myself, so and I'm probably only one of a handful. I've just seen a blur, but you certainly hear them a lot. At night time is the best time to listen to them. And I mean, if you speak to people, I mean, not too old people, people maybe in their 50s and 60s, they would say that was the soundtrack that they grew up to. You know, meeting at the crossroads or walking home from wherever they were, it was, you know, constant crack crack of the corncrake, and they would have seen them during the day as well. They're quite an elusive bird. They're very secretive though. And if they were cutting hay maybe in the fields, I suppose they would come across the nests, maybe gather up a couple of the young. And that's where you would have really seen them, when you were working the fields, working the land. I suppose I'm really only passing through, so I haven't been privileged to see a big group of them yet.
But over like say 30, 40 years, the numbers have been seriously declining, haven't they?
They have, yeah. I mean, they've really, I suppose, they've been decimated in a way. And it's, I suppose it's, the bird hasn't adapted fast enough to the change in agriculture. And really, they just, their habitat or what they require is there, but we're managing it very differently. And that's really just a change from hay to silage cutting, and the speed at which silage cutting is done now. So you've got a very, very big bar on some of the machinery. It's contractors, there's dry weather, they'll work 24 hours, and you don't blame them. They're working all through the night under floodlights. It's a very, very different system than a couple of people with sides or work in a field, or certainly even the smaller tractors with a small bar, maybe a 3 or 4 foot bar, to sometimes you see now 8 to 10, 12 foot bars.
Last April, the Department of Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht produced a plan for conservation of the corncrake to 2021. Their targets for increasing or maintaining corncrake numbers on the islands are general, because they say different pressures are impacting on the suitability of offshore islands for corncrake habitat. Land abandonment is one such example of the complexity of conservation management in this area. Initially, this can result in higher numbers of calling corncrake males, but becomes less useful as land begins to scrub over. It seems the corncrake thrives when humans use land, just not so intensively.
We're going up here just to see some of that change in agriculture. There's old field systems here on the island.
Yeah, I mean, you can see some of the lazy beds and the old fields. At one time there would have been quite a number of families here and kept animals, milking cows, grew oats on the island. It's hard to believe
really?
Now. I have a photograph in a book I'll show you.
Great.
Of one of the fields with oats in it. And, people really would have worked hard to improve the soil and the ground here using, their seaweed manure. And the animals and, that subsistence living again. I suppose it's a bit sad in a way when you look at the kind of old abandoned dwellings and, no roof and bits of old stone walls, and you think of the families they held. But as I suppose as one group moves out, another group moves in. It's not that there's a lack of life on the island, it's just different. But it is, it's a kind of poignant reminder of people really eked out a living here, and the soundtrack to their life was the corncrake at night time, keeping them awake, probably cursing the sound of it.
Does the birds use these ruins?
They do, particularly the stone built houses. Is all storm petrels would breed in them. Get oyster catchers breeding on the top of the little walls. You get pipits and all the different birds use it, and particularly these. You can just see the remains there of the nettle beds, and that's what attracts in your corncrake. And the corncrake love the side of those buildings. They just kind of echoes their call because they're trying to magnify or get their call out as loud as possible. And if they can get onto the gable end of a house or a shed or an old building, that's where you often find them, particularly in bits of abandoned ground that would have been well cultivated, or at the side of a house where maybe the latrine or things were dumped. You got a really rich bit of ground, so there's a lot of nettles, and then it's near a building, so they can echo their voice, but it's abandoned, there's nobody living in it, so that's the perfect conditions, good cover for breeding. But certainly on Inishbofin and Owy and Gola, Tory, you couldn't ask for better conditions for them. A part of what makes the coast and these places in Donegal unique now in Ireland, there's none left on the Shannon Callows. I think there was only one, which was a stronghold, one of the other strongholds for the birds. So Donegal is really the last place in Ireland, and one of the last places in Europe. So if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. So it's up to us. Place like this, like anywhere, abandoning somewhere is no good to wildlife either, because they've adapted to how humans have managed the landscape. So we need to continue managing it, and it's managing it correctly. That's the most important thing.
What do you
thing.
Do out here? Do we create a kind of
like
a mock 1950s?
You can't live in the kind of historic past either. And I suppose that's one of the big debates about SACs and SPAs. Are we really going to preserve a snapshot of the countryside that's not going to change indefinitely into the future? And that's something that really is a debate that maybe it hasn't happened yet, but it's something it's important for communities and Europe as a whole to talk about these things.
Coming up after the break, we look at the crucial role of farming in maintaining our natural heritage.